David Hochberg here. Which team did you adopt a duck for, David Hochberg, or do you spread the love across all three?
First, I'm hearing that there's a duck contest. How much is a duck?
I'm glad you're paying attention to the station emails we're all getting, David.
I'm not on those emails, so and there's a reason for that.
It's a great question, how much is the duck? I'm actually not entirely sure, which means I need to go on there and donate some ducks as well. One duck is $10.
Okay, well, there you go.
But a six-pack is, six-pack is 30.
It's not bad.
So go get 12 for Team John Williams, okay?
I'll do it as soon as we hang up.
Yeah, but we'll be tracking. We can hit refresh and make sure, Dave.
I'm sure you will.
$240 is $1,200 or $120 there, Pete? $120, okay. All right. Anyways, David Hochberg, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, bud. Things are good. Rates are starting to ease off a little bit.
I saw that.
Yeah. We're not back to where we were prior to Liberation Day, but we're heading in that, going in the right direction. I mean, after Liberation Day, when President Trump announced all the tariffs, the rates shot up, and then they have been slowly starting to come down. But again, we're not near where we were, but we're getting close.
And as you've mentioned before, I just want people to marinate on this for a moment. Yes, the Fed rate is important, of course, and it dictates a lot of lending practices, but it is not tied to the mortgage rate. So just by, and in fact, when they were lowered last year, something I know you were not happy about, the mortgage rate shot up.
0.75 point, John. So everybody out there that keeps saying that they want the Fed to lower rates, yeah, it would help you with your car loans, your credit cards, your student loans. All of those short-term financing opportunities, that home equity line of credits, right, that our listeners have HELOCs, that impacts all of that, but it does not impact the mortgage rates, as was proved last time when the Fed chair cut it 0.75 point or 0.5 point. I forgot what he did. And no, he cut it 0.5 point, and the rate shot up 0.75 point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not.
There's not a direct tie. It's not tit for tat.
It's not
exactly.
A direct tie. Correct.
It's based off the 10-year, which is an open market treasury, which is auctioned off on Mondays and bought and sold. And that rate, which is basically a barometer often of what people think the economy is doing as a whole, that adjusts to what the mortgage rate ultimately is.
It's what worldwide investors who buy the U.S. Treasuries feel about the U.S. economy.
Right.
And typically when the market crashes, like we saw during Liberation Day, people would leave the stocks and dump their money into bonds, and then bond yields would go down. We didn't see that this time. We saw trillions of dollars go into money market funds and also into gold and into crypto, and we didn't see the decrease like we normally would when a market collapses, like it did during when President Trump announced the tariffs 4 months ago.
And when the treasuries didn't go down, that actually led to a giant freak out. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about a few different things. I'm glad you still want to chat a little bit about the firing of the Bureau of Labor Statistics head after the bad job numbers Friday. I feel like it has been talked about plenty, but I think it is maybe more impactful than people realize, the precedent that that sets.
Yes, it really does. Well, here, you know, firing the head of the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, on Friday is like firing your waiter for bringing you bad soup. Okay. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous that this poor lady got fired for just delivering the news that you and I have talked about. The numbers that they report haven't been accurate for the past 15, 20 years, and they're always adjusting it up or down. Right. So,
because you get more data, more data comes in.
Well, right. So let's have this opportunity, instead of firing this poor lady for doing her job, maybe like look at this and say, hey, what are we doing wrong here? And how can we tighten up collecting this data quicker so we don't have to go through all of these different gyrations of increasing and decreasing in the job numbers? Because if you remember last August, right before the election, 60, 90 days before the election, the BLS came out and reduced jobs by $818,000. Then they came out the following month and decreased it by not 818,000 jobs. They revised it again to only the economy lost 500,000 jobs. So it's like, let's do a better job of collecting the data and reporting it correctly the first time, instead of having to do all of these revisions, which is just nuts. So what do? You know, we fire the waiter for delivering bad soup.
Yeah,
so,
I think I agree with you. I think there is a better way to do it. The response rate to these surveys is abysmal, and it's exactly tied to the same things that we do. Someone calls me, emails me, or sends me a letter. I don't know who they are. I don't really want to do it. I don't respond. And that's what small businesses are facing, too. They get calls or texts or emails or letters asking for the survey responses. They're too busy to fill it out these days. Things are so crazy. The response rates have cratered, which is why there's such a lag to when they finally are able to get enough data. The number doesn't look the same as it was the first time.
Right. And people lose confidence in it. And again, it wasn't a political thing. It was ridiculous. And we need to do a better job of collecting the data, because the data is what drives the economy. And you know what? If you start messing around with numbers, okay, you want to start messing around with numbers and putting lackeys in places that control these numbers, Social Security is based upon the cost of living increases, right? Why was there a huge COLA adjustment? Because of inflation, right? You want to start playing with numbers, it's going to impact everybody out there, and it's in not a good way. And a lot of our listeners are not thinking about that, but I read on this stuff, and I watch this stuff, and I learn about this stuff. And that was brought up a couple of days ago. I'm like, I can't wait to get on with John and talk about it, because I learned about it after. I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
You start playing with inflation numbers, okay? When inflation numbers are going up or down, right? That impacts your cost of living adjusters on your Social Security and other things out there, okay? So let's not play around with numbers and get numbers into ways that leadership wants it to look when it's really not that way. And let's fix the way that we collect systems. And if there is inflation, let's address inflation and let's fight inflation by doing things in the economy that we have to in order to fight inflation. So it's just exhausting.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to take. It's like, look, the way we're doing it isn't working. That doesn't mean you fire the people. Even if maybe I'm just going to give the president the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this the leader of the BLS should be held partly responsible for not a course correcting on how the data is collected. Still, you have to look at the grander scope of the confidence of the numbers. And by just firing that person instead of working with them to come up with a better way. I mean, like, what if the jobs number next month is good, and it rightfully should be good? President Trump is going to lose some folks on the margins for saying, wrongly so perhaps, that they fudged the numbers to be better, right? Like, this could mute some of the enthusiasm that could come for a good number that would be great news for him, for detractors saying, perhaps incorrectly, that the numbers were messed with.
Right, because now you open that door. So when they came out with good numbers the past, You know, the first couple of months he was in office, it was great. The job numbers are outstanding. Look at the great job we're doing. And now when they adjust it down, fire the lady. I mean, you just lose confidence in the entire system. And it's not good for our overall economy. Okay. It's just not good. So we beat this horse to a pulp.
We're done.
So let's
turn the page.
We're done with this topic. Yeah. Move on.
Thanks, Hochberg. You know, this is my part of the show where I get to run it. This ain't Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Who knows what happened on that show? That's out of control.
It's not really a plan. 773 checked just really quickly. David, what is an average HELOC rate at? Is it similar to the mortgage rate? I'm curious myself.
No, it's typically based upon prime, which is 7.5% right now. King County Teachers Credit Union, if you qualify, have credit scores, I believe, over 700, they have a teaser rate at prime minus 2. So you'd start out at close to 5.5% for the first 12 months. There's no prepayment penalties, and it's a great product to have for an emergency shoot. Best time to get a HELOC when you don't need a HELOC, so it's there, and you never thought you need to tap into it.
Well, I just wonder if now is like a really good time. Home values are pretty high, but that market may be softening a little bit. We'll wait and see. You'd know better than me, but tap into that equity now, get the HELOC, just let it sit there.
Absolutely, 100% right. Yeah, just have it sit there. If you don't use it, you might pay a yearly annual fee of 50 to 75 bucks, but it's great to have to just write a check and tap into that equity if you ever needed it.
773 wants to know about mortgages right now, the rates for a 30-year fixed rates. They have good credit scores. They're both in the 800s. Their mortgage is a 775 now. Is now a time to refinance?
Yeah, they should give me a call. Basically, there's a lot of variables that go into it, loan to value, credit scores, which were obviously good. Type of properties, but if you're at 7.75, you should give me a call at 855-563-2843, and we'll take a look at it, see if we can help you out.
General rule of thumb, what percentage lower of a rate should I wait for before I call you for a refinance? Let's say I'm at, for example, a 7. What am I waiting till?
Well, I mean, if we could refinance a 7 down to a 6.5 and cover your costs, right? You know, the rule of thumb, the old rule of thumb, I've been doing this 25 years. I got to save a full point before I could do it. That's a bunch of garbage. If you got a big enough loan amount, I talked to a lady today. She was at 6.5%. We've got an adjustable rate mortgage special if you got a loan over $1 million in the fives. Saving her like $850 a month, and we were covering all her closing costs. So, you know, for 6/8 of a point, cover all your closing costs on a million. It was a $1.25 million loan all day long. Wait. So it depends. It depends on the variables, Jeff.
But yeah, you start saying ARM and people start freaking out. They start thinking of 2008 with the adjustable rates. What's different now?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't freak out. Adjustable rate mortgage is a product. It's just like morphine. If you use it effectively, it's a great drug. If you don't use it effectively, you have no teeth and you're sleeping under a viaduct. I mean, so, you know, an adjustable rate mortgage, these folks are very wealthy. They have a feeling that sometime in the next 5 years that rates are going to drop, and they made the decision to take advantage of it. They're going to be saving over $800 a month on a $1.2 million loan on a $2.75 million property, right? So it worked for them. And then again, it's not for everybody. If you want 30-year fixed loans, then don't take out an ARM, right? That's why Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors. Everybody's got a different flavor of ice cream they like.
You need to start writing these things down that you say, David, I swear, and publish a book about just your little phrases, your catchphrases. An adjustable rate mortgage is like morphine. It's a great drug if you use it right. If not, you lose all your teeth and you're pumping up drugs under a viaduct.
Well, you're sleeping under a viaduct.
Sleeping.
And you have trouble. Yeah, and you have trouble pooping because it's constipated me when I had a back surgery.
We had a nice little segment going there, David.
Yeah, a little segue. Just want to throw that in there. Some people.
Speaking of that, the economy these days, you know, these numbers lag behind, and I think people are starting to wise up to the fact that prices are not going down, which I don't think they ever were going to. Deflation is no bueno. You don't want to live in a world where prices are going down. It may make you feel good for a second, but then most people lose their gigs when you have deflation. So, David, but I've been seeing a lot, maybe I'm just in a silo or something, where people are really starting to notice that prices are still going up and wages aren't keeping up with it, despite what some numbers may say. What are you hearing?
Yeah, let me share some information with you and your listeners. U.S. consumer spending is rapidly declining. Personal expenditures adjusted for inflation fell 0.15% in the first quarter, and they continued to decline. It's the biggest decline we've seen in the first half of the year since the 2020 pandemic. And if you take out the pandemic, John, it's the largest drop we've seen in 15 years. Historically, such a weakness that we're seeing is often signaled for the onset of a recession, which isn't good. And here's some more information that our listeners need to be aware of that they don't follow, but I follow. The ISM Manufacturing PMI Index, John, which stands for the Institute of Supply Management Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, which is a monthly economic indicator that provides insight into the health and performance of the manufacturing sector. This is not good news. Decreased for the fifth consecutive month to the lowest level since November of 2024. And 25% of U.S. manufacturers, John, reduced their payrolls last month.
Quarter of them.
The highest since a quarter of them. The highest since June of 2020. So what does this mean? That means that everybody that's working at those manufacturing plants, why are they getting laid off? Because people aren't buying as much product as that the factory once was producing. Because if they were, they went to 25% of manufacturing employees, the people that work in factories, wouldn't have gotten laid off. So things are slowing down. And when things slow down, it's good for interest rates, right? As bad as that sounds, I've been saying it for years, right? You want to take a look at the employment numbers. So if the employment numbers by the BLS comes out, and the president might not like it, and the leadership in Washington might not like it, but a decrease in the job numbers, John, gets President Trump to where he wants to be, because then the Fed chair has got a higher chance of dropping the rates that the President Trump has been up his rear end for since he got elected. Okay, so a decrease in the job market is good for interest rates. As bad as that sounds, somebody's going to lose their job. And I've gotten more calls in the past 3 weeks, John, from listeners who have lost their jobs. Okay, what do I do now? I got a call 2 weeks ago from the wife and last week from the husband. The husband and wife both lost their jobs.
Wow.
Okay, there goes $250,000 combined incomes out the window. Okay, and the prospects of them getting a job in the next 4 to 6 months, not good, especially at the levels that they once were at. They own three properties, and they're like, what should we do? I'm like, you got to think about selling some of these properties.
Yeah, right.
Right? Okay, you know, they're calling me for advice. I'm like, well, which one aren't you going to be wanting, right? Well, we bought this one for vacation. I'm like, well, vacations really aren't the top 400 things on your list right now. She's like, no. I'm like, you got to call a realtor and see what you can get for it and dump that as fast as humanly possible.
They can go vacation in Ottawa. I mean, that's we talk about it a lot on this show. Simplify right. things.
Right. But you can pull up a bench in John Williams' backyard.
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
Airbnb it while he's out of town.
I get you. I feel this too. And I'm hearing that from other people too. The only just caveat I want to put on this, and it's different because in 2022, it was the inflation, and that was really sparking a lot of fears, rightfully so, of a recession. And people harped on my show, on your show, recession coming. It didn't come. Yeah. But spending was up and jobs were great. If there are cracks in that foundation, even with inflation being a third of what it was 3 years ago, that can still spark a recession because jobs and spending are really what drive things.
These are the signs that we are seeing. And what's happening in the marketplace now, I'm just passing on information so our listeners could be aware of what's happening and to educate themselves and be more knowledgeable.
Hope we turn it around, my friend.
Me too.
We wish that. All right, David, as always, we'll talk soon.